T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It sounded like a wild premise when this type of research started a few years back. Military veterans who had seen heavy combat and experienced major trauma were treated with psychedelics like magic mushrooms to see if their symptoms could be eased. Well, those experiments did show promise, and now there's some new research to expand the potential uses.
Maybe treating depression or even overcoming alcoholism. Dr. Daniel Kelly, neurosurgeon and president of the Pacific Neuroscience Institute Foundation, he's leading new clinical trials involving the use of psilocybin. Doctor, thanks for being here. So, yeah, as we said, this kind of seems strange to some people, but there's been stories that have cropped up over the years. Where are we with this?
So thanks for having me on. We're really in the middle of a psychedelic renaissance, a renaissance in psychedelic-assisted therapies. This was very big. In fact, really, some would call it mainstream psychiatry back in the 50s and 60s, used for various types of addiction and depression. And as you may know, with the events going on in the 60s and the early 70s, psychedelics really kind of went into the deep freeze with the Controlled Substances Act, which was passed in 1970. But slowly, given that there were many people who knew there was really great potential for all sorts of mental suffering, this has started to slowly come back, really beginning in the late 80s and then the 90s, and certainly in the last 20 years, we're really in a full-blown psychedelic renaissance right now.
And referencing back to your reference about what was going on, the sort of cultural wars in this country in the 70s, is it difficult? Was it difficult to get government approval in this country to do studies involving psychedelics?
Yes. I mean, it started very slowly, began in part with MDMA, with the MAPS group studying PTSD. And then really, I would say the Johns Hopkins group really started this in late 1999 and early 2000. The group there has really helped lead the charge for doing very safe, controlled studies of psilocybin and some other substances. And thanks to them and other groups like at NYU and the Imperial College of London and at Harbor UCLA years ago, we've made great progress. And these studies are being done in a number of places now quite safely with a lot of screening, with FDA and DEA approval. And, obviously safety is a key consideration in these studies. One of the things that I think is people are somewhat perhaps confused or just don't realize is that you can't really overdose on psilocybin or LSD. There is no real lethal dose. Now, you can do some crazy things on it if you're in an uncontrolled setting or at a rock concert or wandering onto a freeway, but in a controlled clinical trial setting, with appropriate preparation and the appropriate set and setting, these can really be life-changing treatments.
Yes. So what do we think happens? Like, how does it help? So you're monitored and you go into a psychological state, or, you take a trip for several hours. Is it a calming effect, or does it change how your brain talks, or do you have an epiphany?
So a little bit of all of that, and it depends really what the person is trying to address, whether it's depression or anxiety, they have a cancer diagnosis or addiction, for example. The preparation is really key, and getting the patient to understand why are they doing this and what the goals are. The trip itself, if it's psilocybin, which is what we're using in our trial for alcohol abuse, It's about a 5 or 6 hour journey, and it's with two guides. And the mantra is really sort of trust, let go, and be open, and really let the drug take you where it's going to take you. The guides are simply there to help the individual if they have some rough spots. And, you know, we've all heard of the term bad trip. You know, really in this setting, a bad trip can actually be a good thing because you're confronting issues that you are having trouble dealing with in your regular sort of ego-driven state. Mm. And it's thought that at least with psilocybin and LSD, they are serotonin antagonists, and they tend to shut down or dampen down the what's called the default mode network, which is really your ego. And, you know, your ego is the things you worry about in the future, your regrets about the past, you ruminate on things. And it's thought that psilocybin and LSD really dampen down the default mode network and allow your brain and these neural networks that don't normally talk to each other to communicate. And it's quite amazing that during this time period, people can end up having these great, you know, epiphanies and new visions of how things are.
You know, because of the pandemic, it sounds like the only trip I could actually take now.
No vacations, but I got 6 hours for you.
Very, very quickly, what sort of conditions might this be useful for, do you think?
So there's been very promising phase two studies in addiction, for example, tobacco addiction. The Hopkins study showed almost a 70% quit rate with a single guided trip, which is really astonishing. That's about three times better than anything else out there. We're using it for alcohol abuse, and there's been some very good studies on that suggesting it can be useful in alcohol abuse. Depression, anxiety, and PTSD. So there's the really interesting thing about these compounds is that they seem to be transdiagnostic. They work in many different areas of mental health, you know, anguish. And that's one of the really exciting things about it, I would say.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Daniel Kelly, neurosurgeon, president of the Pacific Neuroscience Institute Foundation, leading a trial. Thanks.